room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Let's Get Freaky. Very excited for our next guest tonight. We are joined by Nancy Thames. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Very well. What part of the US are you in right now?
In Mississippi.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. You sent me your bio, and I was very excited to have you on the show.
Yes, I am a lifelong contactee with interdimensional beings and positive extraterrestrials. So my first conscious memories started at about 2 to 3 years old. And at that age, it would always be three grays. And one of the grays was a female. And for the longest, I didn't realize my relationship with her or the fact that she was the one that was always coming to get me. At the young age, it was a very playful experience. It was, they have the ability to change scenery around you, or also to pick something in your mind that you're comfortable with and then pull that image. They don't change into that image, but that is what you see, because they can pull that, and then that kind of creates a whole fun, enjoyable environment. And that way you can have the full experience wide awake, you know, and without the fear and the anxiety and all these things. So, that was great and stuff. But the problem is, as I got older, say around junior high, which here is like 7th to 9th grade, so then at this point, you know, I was seeing things on television. In the past, when I was little, if I had told my parents that there were little beings in my room, they would laugh and say, "Go back to bed. You're just having a dream." So I kind of figured out real quick that this was not things to talk about. And, you know, I was told not to bring those kind of things up to relatives or at school or anywhere. So then as I got older and stuff, my parents noticed that I was like had an interest in watching shows, or like when they would go grocery shopping, they would catch me over like at a magazine rack. And I was like fumbling around trying to find stuff, you know, on these topics. And, again, they were just saying, you know, it's okay. We don't mind you looking or whatever, but you cannot talk about these things. And pretty much my father didn't mind talking about it, but, you know, they were his stories to tell, so to speak. And he didn't want to hear all the what he considered nonsense about it. Like me saying, "Oh, I think they've been in my room." He would just shut that down real quick and say, no, that's not what we're discussing here. You know, we're talking something else. So I realized that, it had to be suppressed. And so I suppressed these things for all of my life. And so it started very young. And like when I got older and I started reading things or what other people were experiencing, I realized that my experiences were different, but it didn't change the fact that it made me scared. So I changed from being pleasant, I guess, type cooperative, little girl into being fearful with the covers pulled up, hiding from them, you know, ignoring, even if I knew that they were present, you know, I could always feel their presence. They give off a whole different frequency that we humans, we are on a low frequency. And when you're with them face to face, you pick up that energy and that vibrational feeling. And it's a very, very strange feeling. So I was scared, you know, I was very scared. So, and they knew this. And so what they would do is allow me to have a small amount of consciousness time, but then they would tap me on the forehead and they would put me in a trance-like state, which I was fully functional. But the problem with that is that when you come back home, wake up the next day, you have fragmented memories. And a lot of times you're not even sure if it, you know, you're very confused at this, with this happening, because it seems real, but then you can't piece it all together. So it puts a lot of questions in your mind. And I never understood, you know, why they were doing these things. As I've gotten older and I have become closer with them and trustful with them, they have, I have learned a lot of things about the whole process and why they do these things. So basically for me, they were grooming me into being who I am today. And who I am today, I am a contactee who went through different stages of being an experiencer, all different ages, different things. And I suffered many lost friends, many lost relationships. You know, this is not, everybody says, oh, I wish I could have an experience with an extraterrestrial. Well, the reality is that, you know, growing up until, you know, they started this whole disclosure thing, people would always roll their eyes around, or you were considered crazy, or all these things. So when you're actually going through these things before disclosure opened up and before I realized there was a whole group of people that had an interest in that, I was living here in the Bible Belt where they were putting people in the funny farm for things like that. So it was not fun at times. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. Now I look back and I understand why it had to happen as it did. You know, it all served a purpose, and it was just a grooming into each stage of it, waiting for me to reach higher consciousness, better understanding, and looking within, finding who I really am, not the whole world around me that, you know, that has pulled me in all these directions, but understanding who I am. So through all these times, whenever I was having drama in my life and depressed, you know, I went through 2 divorces and a lot of other things that aren't, you know, being a human being is not an easy thing for anybody. Everybody has ups and downs. But when I would get really upset, they would come to me and they would say, if this ever gets to be too much for you, you can always come home. And it didn't really resonate with me, because this is my home, you know, this is my home. And I knew of no other things. So I don't know if subconsciously I was blocking what they were saying, or if I really don't have an answer why, but I was ignoring it for a long, long time. So, because none of it made sense to me, you know, and I had no, you know, I was still questioning myself and my experiences. So, you know, I just didn't take it really seriously, to be honest with you. But so as I've gotten older, I started asking questions. And the first time I did, what I did was I sat down in the middle of the floor and it was carpet. And I just took my fingernails and formed a circle around me, not for any particular reason. I just was like searching for anything. And I just put my hands together and I meditated and I asked for them to please come and help me with this, because I do not understand what is happening to me. I do not understand why or what the reason is or any of it. and that I needed some clarity because, you know, I want to know if I'm sane or, you know, is this stuff real or, you know. So what happened was, is the grays, and I found out the grays always travel in threes. I don't know why, but only one of them, and she's a female, and she's of a reddish-brown color, and I am bonded with her. She's been with me all through my life. And so she's always the one that comes to get me from my home or wherever I am in the world. I've lived a lot of different places, and that does not make a difference. They're still going to find you. So, and there's two others with her, and I don't communicate with them. She's the one that talks to me telepathically, and, you know, I don't know what their function is really at all, to be honest with you. But so so when I meditated and stuff, you know, so I went, she took me before a group. It was like a council or a group of elders is what she called them. I went before a group of elders, and these elders were humanoid, but not human. And they were many of them, and they were from different races, different dimensions, things of, you know, just they were different. They weren't all alike. And so I began to ask them, why is this happening to me? What is the reasons? And they said, told me that I had made an agreement before being born as a human being to come here and be here at this time, this pivotal moment for humanity, to be here to help humanity understand all the misinformation that they have been given, to help them understand they are not alone in the universe, to help them understand their agendas, and to help them understand why they chose this particular time. And so, and they told me that as I start to get more conscious memories, that all this stuff would fall into place. And so at that point, I still had a lot of questions. And I said, I don't remember making any agreements or anything like this. So they showed me a vision of myself, and I was in an etheric form, and I was sitting and waiting, and I was waiting, and they were finally came and got me and told me that I was, you're going to your human experience. When you wake up there, it will be many years before you see us, and before you, it would be a while before you totally understand, but we will be visiting you to help you along the way. So that's basically what has happened to me. And it's not something that happened overnight. This has been a gradual grooming and gradual of me remembering things. And about a year and a half ago, in the middle of the night, they gave me a Kundalini awakening. And I did not even know what that was. And it scared me to death.
Can you tell us what that is?
Well, a Kundalini awakening is, I'll tell you how I experienced it and then how I did it. So what it felt like to me was I was in the bed, my body was pulled forward, and this was not anything I was doing. I was set up forward in the bed, sitting up, and then it was like my head was like, and neck were extended up, and it was like surges. And then I would go back down, and then I would come back up, and then would be another surge. And it happened three times. And the surges, it was very scary. It was like, it didn't feel like I was being electrocuted, but it felt, I really don't know how to describe it, because it didn't hurt, didn't feel good. It was scary, and I was not in control of my body. So it was just like surging, like these surges coming through. And I did not, like I said, I did not know what it was, but I did realize all of a sudden all these things started flooding in my mind. And so then I when I would be later visiting with them, I would ask them, and they confirmed that it was a Kundalini experience, and they were clearing out my chakras, blockages from past lives, and also they were opening up my subconscious so that my subconscious would start to fill in my consciousness with memories to help me with all this. So I found out through all this and through their confirmations that I was an extraterrestrial, and I made this decision to come here, and I'm not the only one. There's nothing special about me. There's probably about a million of us, and different ones of us wake up at different times and realize our purpose here on Earth. And every race that is what I call a positive extraterrestrial and interdimensionals, they sent sent people here for this very reason, to help humanity understand, because these are not the beings that have been here in the past that did abductions or made agreements like with governments and things of this nature. This group of interdimensional beings and positive extraterrestrials have been sitting back waiting for humanity to become to this moment in time. We are going through an ascension, not only every human being on this planet, but our planet Earth is going through an extension. We are all becoming of higher consciousness and waking up and realizing that there's things going on in the world that we simply cannot see it, but there's things going on in the whole world. And our scientists are even starting to understand this, and they're putting it out, but the mainstream populace probably does not know. But just because of us being in a 3D world does not mean that there's different dimensions and things going on. So for one thing, our sky, extraterrestrials are not hiding from us. They are all over the place in our skies. Most of us cannot see it because of we're in a three-dimensional world, and we're not at a higher consciousness to open our awareness to where we can start to see these things. So, but we are going through this right now. And we also have figured out through science that everything on this planet, including Earth, all of the trees, all of the plants, everything are living beings. Everything is a living being, and everything on this planet is connected, and we're all connected, and we all are one. And whatever we do affects everything around us. That's why, you know, we have not realized our place on this planet and the connection that we have with Earth and with all creatures and fauna, everything on it. And we have been destroying it. So this is a pivotal moment for humanity. This is where we wake up. We find out who we truly are. We learn about who we are, our true heritage, our true history of this planet. We have been lied to about so many things. Our whole history needs to be rewritten. And they've been sitting here waiting for us to finally come to this pivotal point to where we realize they are not gods. They are not angels. They are simply beings from a different dimension, and they are billions of years more advanced in what we call technology. They don't even have a word for technology. They are way beyond that. And so we have a better understanding now, and we don't like misinterpret things like in the past, back in the days of Bibles and all that. Everything was interpretations by men. That was their interpretation. And then they changed things to set whatever agenda. So they've been waiting for us, you know, to wake up. And that's why they are here, is because we are to the point where we're playing with technology that can wipe us out. and we need assistance. They do not want to come down here and control us. They do not want to take charge. They simply had a part in our creation, and they look at us like children, and they've seen many other civilizations wipe themselves out, because they all civilizations come to this point. And when they come to the pivotal point of where they can make good use of their technology, or they can destroy themselves. And where we're headed right now is not good. So, but we are waking up and realizing these things, and they will be able to have a better communication with us as more people on the planet do become more aware and reach higher consciousness, because we are right in the middle of going to the fourth dimension. And people ask me, how do I know if I'm at the fourth dimension? Fourth dimension is not a physical place. All that means is higher consciousness, higher intelligence, more aware of the world around you and realizing you're a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the purpose of our, apparently, me making a decision to come here, because this is the biggest thing that humans, this is it. This is the big moment. This is the biggest thing that humanity has ever gone through. And it's happening, you know, disclosure is happening. Everything is happening, and it's going to continue. And I think they're just on the James Webb telescope, I'm pretty sure, has already found life up there. And NASA and governments, and they know these things, and they've always known that at some point these things were going to start to occur. And they've tried to keep this hidden from us for 70 to 80 years. So there's a lot of explaining, you know, and they're not looking forward to that. But, and I think that they're sincerely hoping that by the fact that if James Webb Telescope finds something, all of humanity will be so excited by this that they'll kind of scoot under this excitement and maybe not have to answer a lot of questions. But I don't see how they can get around that, because, you know, we have presidents that there's conspiracy theories about JFK, that's why he was eliminated, because he was fixing to spill the beans on what he knew about extraterrestrials. And there's a thousand other things. Whether it's true or not, I have no way of knowing. I do not know everything. But I do know that this is a very special, pivotal moment that we're all experiencing. It's the most wonderful time to be alive, to be a part of it. And we'll go down in history as being the generation that changed the generations after us. We'll be the ones that helped, or the stepping stones that changed their lives, and waking up and realizing we're not alone in the universe, and we do not know everything. And there are beings out there that are willing to help us, but because of us being from our background, where everything back from cave days, everything seems like a predator. So we automatically, our brain is wired to think nothing good could be coming from these things. And because there was a negative group of extraterrestrials that were doing abductions and were working with different fractions of governments, with the so-called black cats, the cabal, the elites that own all these big corporations that have kept us dumbed down, because they've never wanted us to reach this stage of evolution that we're going through, but they cannot stop it. And there's nothing they can do.
It's like they don't want us to know how special everyone is.
Exactly. Because here's the thing, the kicker, and here's one good reason why these lower rim extraterrestrials, by cosmic law, they were never supposed to overstep the boundaries of human beings being here on planet Earth. We are here by on free will, meaning that we are able to make mistakes. We're able to do anything, and nobody is supposed to step in and change any of that, because we were created to learn from our mistakes. So when these negative groups came in and started doing the abductions and working with governments, they overstepped their boundaries. When that happened, they were no longer part of the extraterrestrial collective consciousness. They were exiled, and they are not a part of the positive. And the positive extraterrestrials are much, much bigger in number, and they work with the interdimensionals are of higher technology, of higher evolution, and are from different dimensions. And the lower rim extraterrestrials are from our solar system, but the positive ones are able to move interdimensionally now because of being in good grace with the interdimensionals. The negative ones will never be able to leave the solar system because they overstep this cosmic law. And another thing, all extraterrestrials and interdimensionals have souls. They all believe in a creator source. It is not like what the things that we believe. They do not believe in different religions and all these different things. All these things were man-made, but they do believe in a creator source. And creator source is neither male or female. It's the creator of all things. And it's amazing. There's so many things they have taught me and helped me to understand who I am and the true inner soul, Nancy, the Nancy that has had prior lives. You know, they explained to me that when we leave Earth, however, being in a human experience is a very short experience compared to any other beings in the universe. But there's a lot of things that we can do to change those things. But when we leave this human flesh, our consciousness and our soul they're not in an organ in our body. So our bodies cease to exist, but our soul and our consciousness move on. And that way, you know, it's not over here on Earth. This is not it. Many people have been here many different times. And when you get up into that realm, choices are made of whether you want to come back or do something else. And most of it depends on agreements that you made as a soul as to the things that you want to experience before you get to the completion of where you end up at the highest point around Creator Source, where you can still come back and experience things, or you can just stay and that etheric state. So it sounds really strange, but really and truly, it makes a lot of sense because you've always heard of people talking about they remember like things from a past life. You know, we've had all these things throughout history, but our religions say, oh, that's demonic. Oh, that's the Satan is getting those people, you know, but that was misinformation. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's so interesting.
It is very interesting.
We're here and whatever life we're living, we're just learning lessons. And a lot of the time we've picked those lessons to learn.
Yeah. We have a lot more control of our lives than we realize. It's really amazing. And that's the beauty of this ascension and the beauty of higher consciousness. And from what I've learned from them is that as we evolve and become of higher consciousness, there is no need for evil. There is no need for money. We simply outgrow these things through our evolutionary stages. These things don't happen overnight, but we change because we realize the things of our past are no longer serving us. And they haven't been serving us well for a very long time. But we were, I guess, riding the course of time. But now we are all, every single person in the world is becoming more intelligent. And everybody is different. So it takes a little longer. And like I say, these things don't happen overnight. And they know this. So these things will gradually change. And it will be at a comfort level for all of humanity, not just certain views. It's for the whole of humanity. And by the time it all happens, it will seem like there was no other way of living. You won't miss any of those things. You will remember, but it's just all of a sudden you realize there really was no such thing as hell. There, you know, all these things that we were told all our lives for eons was to keep us in fear and keep us ignorant. Fear and ignorance is the worst things you can do to a vulnerable group of beings trying to evolve on a planet. And then having like these certain puppet masters above us manipulating everything, you know, like having us sitting on technology, not releasing it to humanity. We should not be paying for any energy. We should not be using any fossil fuels. I mean, these things, we should not have diseases. There's cures for everything. Everything on this planet, just like what in the old days they said that, you know, there's a plant here for every human need. And that is true. So they're either sitting on these cures or they haven't looked for them completely. But I think it's more, unfortunately, that they're sitting on a lot of things because these super rich elites that manipulate and control our governments, they put people in position to control pharmaceutical companies, all these things. They cannot make money off of highly intelligent, healthy human beings. So they keep us sick and dumbed down as much as possible. We have toxins in our foods. We have toxins in our air. We have chemicals in all these things. Our food, our air, our water that we drink. Extraterrestrials would not sit down and have a meal with us because our food is too toxic. They would not. Yeah. So there's so many things that need to change, and it will all be for the betterment of humanity. There will be no, first of all, we have to accept that we want it. We have to accept that we will listen and take assistance. They're not going to control. They're not going to change things drastically or anything like that, but they will, you know, assist us because we have been manipulated for a very, very long time and lied to. And it's time for us to know who we truly are. And all of us are, the junk DNA is extraterrestrial DNA. We all are part. We are all part of our planet and we're connected to all the plants and trees, our planet. We have a direct connection with the universe and extraterrestrials and interdimensionals. We are all connected and we are all one. And they are working with us because they've known this forever. They were just waiting for us. And when they came, when they realized that we were, you know, as a collective becoming higher consciousness, because it radiates among and it shows us as being, things start changing, you know, it's a visible thing to them. So when they saw this and they started coming in on their motherships, they told these negative, I call them negative. And when I say that, I'm talking about one race of grays. There's many, many different races of grays. There's many different races of every single race. What we think of as grays, they do not use that name. They all use many different names. Most of it's from whatever rim of the solar system that they come from. But the one race of grays that are negative, they told all these, they put the word out and told them, leave humanity alone. They are at the point where we're coming and we're going to have intervention with them and let them know their place in this universe and that they have an open invitation to be a part of it because we are all family and we are all one. So I think if you look back and if you do research or any of the people that listen to you, these abductions and these horrible things that you hear people saying happened to them, they haven't happened here in the last couple of years because they were told to stop. And I have seen feeds from the International Space Station showing hundreds or more of craft leaving Earth, because most of them left because they know they do not have the technology or the manpower to go against the interdimensionals and positive extraterrestrials. Some are still here. And that's why we have this war going on. The ones that are here are still working with the elites in power, the black cats, the cabal, the richy-rich millionaires that control all of our big corporations, banking companies, and manipulate all these different things. They are on their last legs, fighting tooth and nail, hoping they can extend this out longer, but they can't. They can't. They are here, and not only are they here, but like they are helping people like me wake up. Like I had my Kundalini experience. I hardly think I'm the only one waking up, and then helping people and setting facts straight, because we deserve the truth. When I was little, before I even knew of all these things, I always looked in the sky and thought that I belong there. I always do. I had no proof at that point, but I always knew and had a longing, and I always knew that there was more to the world than what they were teaching us at school, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I've heard so many people say that same thing as well. And I feel a connection when I look up at the sky, you know. I feel like
we're all connected.
I've seen stuff up there that, you know, I don't know what it is, can't explain. But it's fascinating.
Well, see, the more that we research, or the more that we become more open-minded to these things, we will see more.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Yeah.
If these things happen like that, some people would freak out. It has to be done in a gradual way, because you and I, we're familiar with these things. We can easily have a conversation about this, but your grandmother and my grandmother may come after us with a broom and say that we're talking like a demon, you know, and get the bar of soap and get ready to wash our mouth. You know what I'm saying?
These
things are done. It's just like when you look at the plants, some plants are so beautiful and even look like animals or things. Everything on this planet is done by intentional design. All of it is, even our bodies. Everything is done with, it's a beautiful design. So everything that happens and the whole process of how these things come about is beautiful, because we will not be rushed. We will not be rushed. They know that they've taught me many things. I have two sons. They are both experiencers. My oldest son, probably about your age, and he has experiences just like I do. And they they wanted us to go to Mexico, and they sent us to Mexico. They wanted us to fly into Mexico City and then take a short flight over to it's called OACA, something like that. OAXACA, something like that. And it's the lowest state in Mexico, and it's on the Pacific side. And then we took a shuttle ride up 3 hours up into the mountains it's called San Jose de Pacifico. And this was up in the mountains. They wanted us to meet an indigenous tribe. And so he and I, on our own mother-son trip, we went. And when we got up there, nobody spoke English. There was no ATMs. There was no computer, internet stuff. Cell phones were splotchy. Only a few people had cell phones. So it was pretty primitive. But the main reason they wanted us to go up there is they wanted us to experience seeing an indigenous tribe. And this tribe was called the Zapotecs. And the Zapotecs were on the, they were right on the edge of their ascension, just like the Mayans and the Incas. And they got their language, their heritage, or their, they go back as far as the Incas and the Mayans, as far as history in Mexico of indigenous tribes. And they're called the Zapotec. I think it's Zapatoc, I think is what it's called. And so when we get up there, these people have their own language. They do have their own culture, their own belief systems, and they live up in these mountains. And they're also called people of the clouds. So it was very cold up there, which was strange for Mexico, but it was up in the mountains. So they wanted us to meet this indigenous tribe because they were the most eco-friendly people I have ever seen in my life. They were not rich people. They were primitive. Some of the homes had some electricity, but they had no appliances. You know, they did their cooking outside, their washing and things they did outside. But they, a lot of them had electricity. Some of them did have some cell phones, but it was pretty primitive. And in a few little community areas, there was a, like some shops, because it was a major highway that goes across the mountain to Mexico City over to the other side of this mountain. So they get traffic from that. So they would have some people stop. So there were some restaurants, but they wanted us to meet these people, and it was unreal. It was beautiful. Basically, because they're the reason they are missing out on ascending like the Mayans and the Incas is because their younger generation got persuaded by materialistic things and technology. And they just all kind of decided they were tired of living in these huts and living off the land and foraging through forests and living, collecting rainwater, you know, and things of this nature. And they abandoned, the younger generation abandoned the older generation. So that's why they are dying. So one thing that I got out of it is the fact that we are all in an uproar about AI technology. And for us to realize that this technology is good if it's used in the correct way. Yeah. We are intelligent beings, and we have to use our intelligence. These things were created by men. They are made, programmed by men. They are a man-made tool. We have to keep these things as a man-made tool. In other words, keeping ourselves in charge. You know, it would be foolish to turn it loose over a whole thing and never check on it or be in control. Yeah. So for me, it was just kind of common sense that it's beautiful and great if you use it to benefit humanity. If the wrong people were to get it and abuse it and use it in nefarious ways that didn't help humanity, but only helped a given few, kind of like what's been happening to us for eons, only the richy rich sit on the good, you know, the technology and make all this money off of us and work us to death. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from these things. So I think they wanted us to understand that technology is beautiful, but use our intelligence, keep it as a man-made tool. And the other thing they wanted us to experience is they showed us a vision, and we were in a cabin, and they asked us to step outside, and we had a deck, and it was on the side of a cliff. And so when we got out there, they took their hands like this, and they said, "Everything is alive. Everything is alive." And then they did it again, and they looked around at everything. And they said what I said earlier, trees are living beings, plants are living beings, insect, all these things are living beings. And and your planet Earth is a living being. Everything has a consciousness, and you're all connected, and you're all one. And they said, and they showed me a vision of trees communicating to each other. And one was laughing at my son and I. And I looked at the interdimensional. And I said, what is he saying? And he said, he's laughing at you because your kind, meaning humans, run around chopping them down. And we provide the air that you breathe. If we weren't here on this planet providing that air that you breathe, you would not, you would cease to exist here. We are all connected. Everything is connected and we are all one. We cannot live without them. Well, we cannot live without them, but we don't realize our connection. They could, well, we all are connected, so we really can't live without each other. We provide things for each other. So it's kind of hard to explain, but we run around destroying the very things that help keep us alive, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So, you know, people just take these things for granted, but extraterrestrials take nothing for granted. They truly care. So people say, what is their fascination with us and this planet? It is not about totally about us. They are fascinated with all living creatures on this planet and see them as living beings. So when we play around with technology and we destroy things, it not only could destroy us, which they do care about us, but it destroys the balance of our earth, the balance of nature.
Yeah,
it affects our oceans, our rivers, our streams, all living beings. And that outweighs us by far. So they're not going to let us destroy all these living things here on Earth.
Yeah.
Everything is not about us. Everything on this planet is alive and everything is connected. And we all need each other. And we need to wake up and realize this and realize our place in the universe, because every planet up there is a living, conscious being planet, everything. And all of our solar system is teeming with life. We just can't see these things right now with our three-dimensional eyes. But these things are changing every day. And I think this is why our government is so afraid of disclosure. Because how do they tell the world what I'm telling you right now? Because when they speak, everybody's going to listen. When I speak, I'm getting little small bits out and it spreads. And hopefully other people like me will do the same. You know, we'll all wake up and start doing this same thing. But this is why, because this is big.
Yes, this is big. For sure.
And the other thing too that they have expressed to me is disclosure is wonderful, but government disclosure and their disclosure are two different things, and they're not working together, okay? That's separate. And what our government does makes no difference in their decisions on when they do it, because they are working and watching humanity. They're not watching what governments are saying. They're looking at the consciousness, intelligence level of our whole world. And are we receptive to understanding these things that are happening in our lives? So it's just, it's a process that will not happen overnight. And that's a good thing, because it can't happen that way. It would not, it would not work. It has to work. And they know how to do this. They've done this many, many times with other civilizations.
Interesting. Can I ask you, going back to when you was on the mountain and you was having this experience with your son?
Yes.
And you're seeing the entity. Was you in that moment together with your son? Is he seeing the same thing that you were seeing?
We see things for some reason. We experience the whole trip. He and I had experiences every single night, but they do not take us at the same time. The three, all right, let me go back to this. I have three that always come for me. He has three that always come for him. They are not the same ones.
Okay.
I'm bonded with a female. He's bonded, I don't really, I don't, he's bonded, I think he, I don't know. We don't really talk about that. And I don't even have a name for this female gray. I know that she is a hybrid. She is a hybrid that was designed by the interdimensionals and the tall grays. And they designed her because she was designed and created to do the escorting back and forth. Interdimensionals and extraterrestrials have a problem with the density of Earth. Our atmosphere, our gravity, our density are not really compatible. So they created this hybrid to do this. And that makes it a lot easier to do the back and forth. And so once I get on craft, then I don't see her until time to come back home. So for example, when we were at the cabin, when I would wake up, okay, I would sense the presence. I can feel their presence. It's a frequency that wakes me up. And I would raise up, and they would, it was not my grace. And they looked at me and said, "This is not about you. Go back to sleep." And I like did what they said, and I laid down, and they told me this telepathically. And then they took my son, and he had his experience. And another night I woke up and I became fully conscious, and I was standing up on the side of the bed. Night lights were on, and I looked at her and I smiled, and I started running my fingers through hers. And I was just very, very happy. And I would, you know, because it was happening on my trip with my son, you know, it was, and I thought, we're going to get to do this together. And so I'm standing there with her. And then all of a sudden I noticed my son on the other side of the room is in the bed, and he's laying, it looks like he's on his belly, and he's like trying to get up, trying to get up. He can't get up. They have him in a sleep paralysis. He could not speak or get up. So, you know, and before when they were little, I saw my two sons taken for their first time that I consciously saw it. And wow. I was very upset when I saw that, because what they did to me, they were like really young, and we were on a vacation. My ex-husband and I were in one bed. The children were in another, and I felt the presence. I raised up, and these were not the grays that come for me. These were different. I haven't seen these since, but they were 3 feet tall, short, moved very fast, and they wore robes and had very high collars. And when I raised up in the bed, it was a male. He approached me and pushed me down on this left side, pushed me back down and said, "This is not about you. Lay down and go to sleep." And put me in a sleep paralysis. So I was fully awake, but I could not speak and I could not move. And I watched them get my children and leave. Wow. And then I went to sleep. And the next morning I woke up and I looked over, and of course they were in their beds. And we all went to breakfast, and I asked them if they had any strange dreams or anything they wanted to talk about. And they looked at me like, "No, what? You know?"
Yeah.
And so I left it alone because, wow. And I was very, very upset about it, very upset. But I now understand the reason why we can't do this at the same time. It is because there's a lot of things involved. They are telepathic. And whenever we feel fear, anxiety, they feel it telepathically. But whatever we feel, they feel it 10 times the amount. These are not emotions and feelings they understand or like. So that's why they tap you out, is because they're there to do a task, especially these hybrids. They're on assignment. They're there to do their job. There's no negotiating. They don't care if you're upset because your little boy is going. They don't understand these human emotions at all. So,
interesting.
So they tap you out. And so that's why even though now he and I both have experiences, they keep us separated on our visits on craft, because the way they explained it to me is that I would not give full concentration on why I'm there and what I'm expected to learn, because I would be worried about what he's thinking, what is he doing, what is he learning. And it's the mother-son connection, and that will interfere. And for him, same thing, because he constantly says, why is my mother not included? You know, because we didn't understand. You know, yeah. We thought we're both doing this. What? But I do understand. It's there's too many human emotions, and this is really not fun and games. It's an agenda. It is, everything serves a purpose, and you know, it's everything is for the greater good of things. You know, it's not playtime. So they will never. I don't know. Maybe someday they will, but at this point, we won't be having experiences like that together. Yeah. But he sees the same. They talk about me to him. They talk about him to me. They show me visions about him. They show him visions about me and tell us how we're supposed to complement each other, because we're both on a mission. He was an extraterrestrial before he came here too. And we know that we're connected. We don't know what race we're from. We don't know what our relationship there was. You know, there's a lot of things that probably in our subconscious we may know, but it's blocked, because it's important that we enjoy our life experience here. I'm a mother and a grandmother. He's a father and will be a grandfather someday. We have to balance out our human experience along with this extraterrestrial experience. But it's important that we keep our sanity and that we learn how to balance and not let one over control the other, you know, because I have to have my family time and then also my extraterrestrial time. Yeah. So it's not an easy thing. You know, people say, I'd love to tell them to come get me. It doesn't work that way. You know? Yeah. And it's not always, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, if this was, well, I wouldn't even talk about it 15 years ago, because I was keeping it suppressed, because I already found out that people don't like to talk about these things. And a lot of people just think it's crazy. So, you know, I had to be groomed into these things, and everything in my life, they've played a part of it, orchestrated. We are human beings. We make mistakes. We have to have these things happen in our life, because this is part of our human experience, is learning from our mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and evolving to a spiritual evolutionary, you know, point. And that's why some people have to come back and repeat certain things, because they don't. But now we are really, I think, consciously, we are like, it's just pouring into us. And I mean, everywhere you look, people are talking about consciousness, frequency, vibrational frequency. And before, when people talked about these things, they thought, ooh, they're in woo-woo land. But now it's starting to all make sense, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 100%. I mean, what you say, when you look back to when you first started having these experiences, families wouldn't talk about it because of the danger of what could happen to you.
Yeah.
We're definitely in a time now where, you know, there is obviously people trying to suppress free speech and stuff like that, but there is a lot more free speech out there. We are getting the word out there.
And they always told me that I would know when the time was right. So it's just, everything's done by pure intention. Everything is by design.
Yeah, it's meant to be.
And the way that they'll handle disclosure with humanity will be the same way.
Can I ask you, when they take your bodies, and when you can see them taking your kids' bodies, which must be a horrible thing to see, is it their body, or is it
it's their it's
we is go actual in, body
we go in physical, for me, before I even realized it was happening to them, for me, when it got to the point where I would wake up and sense their presence, and I think through time, my frequency has, all human beings have a frequency, okay? We all have a frequency, but ours are very low, being human. But with me, each time they were introducing me to more and getting me, I guess, like charged up or used to their presence, because it's a very strange thing when you're face to face. The frequency exchange is like nothing you've ever felt. But for me, I would feel their presence, and I would keep my eyes closed. They probably even told me to, whatever, you know, they try to do things to make it comfortable. And so then I would feel my covers come off, and then I would feel a vibrational scanner going from head to toe, toe to head. And after a while, my body would start to float, raise up off the bed. At this point, I would open my eyes and look around, see that I was physically floating in the air.
Wow.
And I would look over and see I was holding the hands with the female gray. And then we would go up through a ceiling, through a door, through a window. So what they explained to me, and this was later on, they were actually changing my vibrational frequency from 3D, changing it to their frequency. That is how I was able to do what they were doing, is because that vibrational scanning was raising my frequency. So, yeah, so it's there's so much. I don't know. I could probably talk about this forever.
Yeah, just so much. I love it.
Yeah. So that's how they were doing that. So, so now, at the time when they took my children, I realized, now, they could have easily done that with me unconscious. They could have zapped me out and I would have never been awake. But they allowed me to see that, because they wanted me to know that it's not just me, you know. So everything they do is, everything serves a purpose, and there's a reason for it. And I do think there were a lot of people that have had abductions. It was by a negative race. And when I say that, they are not demonic, and they do believe in creator source, but they are self-serving. They only think about themselves. They could care less whether you're scared or upset or whether you like whatever they're going to do, because they are self-serving and they are only fulfilling their needs. So they were apparently doing some kind of genetic testing or whatever. I don't really know. But for me, my was quite different. It wasn't like that. I went through menopause in my 40s. So, if you were doing genetic testing on somebody, you would have been done with them when that happened, because they would have served you no purpose. And most people that had things like that done, it was not a lifetime experience. You know, it was like during their fertile years, you know. But I think some of it was done by the negative type extraterrestrials, but some of it also could have been misunderstood, you know, because of our fear and because of not understanding what it was that. And they were checking on our evolutionary development, our, you know, spiritual evolution, checking on these things. And they have to do this throughout the planet to understand. And before we would get to where we were at a higher consciousness and we start vibrating and it becomes visible, I guess that was the only way that they could do it.
Yeah.
And so for me, they were raising my frequency. They don't do that anymore. They don't have to, because I stay at a very pretty high frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're going on board the crafts. Can you remember?
Yes.
Can you remember being on there?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Can I ask
Yes.
you what that is like and what it looks like?
Yeah. When I'm holding my little female Gray's hand and we're trucking up, going headed to it, and you see it, it looks like about a football field here in America. Half, say it's half the size of the football field. Okay. Then when you get to craft and you go through the door, when you walk in, it becomes a mothership. It is not the little thing that you saw. It's much, much bigger than the football field, half the football field. It looks like
Wow.
the football field from, but when you go in, that you can see no end, and everything is bright. It's very, very bright, but it's not a too bright and not too dim. It's a perfect bright. And if you look around, try to understand or figure out where the source of the light is coming from, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. And everything to me is what it looks white. Everything looks white, very bright, very white, very basic. There's no, it's just basic. And I would say basic and sterile looking,
Yeah.
So I hear all
Wow.
kinds of crazy stories and stuff, and but I do understand everybody perceives things differently. It's like you could read a chapter in a book, and what you got from it and what I got from it, it can change. But so it's a big thing. It is big. And but I have to say, I now, out of all the things that's ever happened to me in my life, I'm happier than I've ever been because I know who I am. I know my purpose here on life, my purpose here on earth. And
Yeah.
I know that when I cease to exist here, I'm going somewhere else, and I have family up there waiting on me because our lives here on earth is very short. And this could be like for us, I'm 63 years old. What are you, maybe 40?
I'm 36.
We're 36.
Yeah.
So to us, that seems like a long time. To them, this could be like a dream. This could be like, it's a very short, there is no such thing as time. For them, there is no such thing as money. There's no such thing as diseases. There is no such thing as evil. All those type things, through their evolution, those things do not cease. They don't exist.
It's so
It's
interesting.
amazing.
It is. All the things that harm us, all the things that we don't really need, all the negative things that we don't need are
We
gone.
don't need anything negative. All of our, I don't watch the news. All of the, in the United States, everything is controlled by a certain fraction that it's only negative bad and it's
Yeah.
highly censored, So I don't even own cable or pay for anything. I pick and choose what I want off of Prime Video or Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm not falling into that thing at all. And I think a lot of people here in the States are waking up and realizing it is not healthy to always have negative things around you. But you have to understand, we were created as to all be connected and all be one. Okay. And what has happened over the eons is they have kept us separated.
Yeah.
Separated by different language, separated by different religions. Everything was done on purpose to
Yeah.
keep humanity apart. They never want us to come together as one because when we do, there's no stopping us. We are very unique and we have so many things ahead of us that we're just now starting to figure out. And there, things are going to be much better in our futures if we make the right decisions. And I think we will. I don't think that they've wasted all this time on people like me and them sitting, they're here now and they're waiting on us. It's just a process that takes time. But it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's going to all happen. And our lives are going to be so much better. Not tomorrow. Maybe not next year. But we're on
the right path.
This is a process.
Yeah. So going back to when you're on the ship and you're looking around, is there all different entities there? Or is it just a load? Is it just a room of different types of entities?
Yes, they're all different and they're intermingled races and they're all here. And these are motherships. They are on motherships. And some of them live their entire lives on motherships because what they do is that they are waiting for different civilizations that are going through this stage of evolution, you know. My son feels like he is what we would call an ambassador. His job is to probably goes around at different times doing this kind of thing. And I don't quite know I know that I'm here and I'm here to help and assist and I'm a humanitarian, but I don't know what my title is. And I don't think that I was ever a human being before. And I don't think my son doesn't think he was either. So I think probably he and I both, we are part of a network of beings that constantly going from different galaxies or universes doing the same thing because we're not alone. The world is full of stuff. And, you know, from what I have been told, all these things up in the galaxies and universe, it's infinite. You know, it's just, it's there. And we're just now figuring all these things out. So, it's amazing.
And are all the entities communicating telepathically? Is that how? Because it seems to be the direction that we could be going into now.
We are. See, here's another thing. Our pineal glands are calcified and they're shrunk because this is what these things are going to start. We have things in our DNA that are going to start to activate. Again, this won't happen overnight. But once we learn that what we put in our temples, our bodies, will decide how much we evolve in higher consciousness and how much we evolve as human beings. We will learn to be more intelligent about the things that we eat. Extraterrestrials and interdimensionals, they don't eat three meals a day. They do not require as much sleep as we do. But there's a lot of things that will change. And, you know, there's a lot of most of our things that we do that are not good for us is because of the way we were brought. Our society has created us into being these kind of beings. Yeah, and we know no better. They know this. And it's just like all these people that are in these countries where they have these leaders that want to play around and threaten nuclear weapons and stuff, they understand there's a lot of innocent bystanders around there. They understand everything about humanity. And another thing, too, is that they totally understand what it's like for human beings. They have been with me since my birth. And the other human beings like me that incarnated here, they know everything about me. Anytime I've ever had a horrible thing happen, they came to me and let me know they were there.
Yeah.
And that if it was too much, I could come home. Now I understand what they meant. I made a choice to be here. And I could always say, I want to come home. And they would have worked that out. But I formed a family here. I've had husbands divorced now, but I have children. I have grandchildren. And this is my home. And I want to enjoy it as long as possible. I do know I have family there, but this is important. You know, this is, and I'm very happy. I'm happier than I've ever been, you know.
That's good. Yeah.
Because it was a struggle not understanding who I was, why this was happening to me. Was I crazy? You know, all these things, it's not an easy thing. It's not.
Yeah.
But it, in the long run, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Know? I've got to ask you this, because you used to be a former Department of Defense employee, which is a pretty important job.
Well,
may I ask you a little bit about that?
I went to the work for the Department of Defense. I was in dentistry, and I got hired to work for the Department of Defense, and they sent me to Hawaii, of all places, and I worked at Schofield Barracks on a Army base, and I loved it, and I learned more about dentistry. I thought I knew a lot. I didn't know nothing until I got there, and I was privy to seeing they had some x-ray technology that most hospitals, at least in this area, don't have. And in dentistry, they had some 3D imaging and stuff. And I was thrilled to be exposed to this. But now I realize the importance of all that is because the beings that they found down in, that were presented at Mexico City, those beings from Peru, the Nazca mummies, those mummies were presented. The thing was, the man that presented them to their government had a reputation of trying to show things and saying they were extraterrestrials, and it was debunked, you know, and he made others look like fools. So a lot of people, when he took these bodies down there, automatically the flags went up and they dismissed it and wouldn't even consider looking at it. For me and other people, but for me, I looked at the scientific evidence. I could care less what other people thought about this man. What I wanted to see was the scientific evidence. And I watched their hearings every single day, every minute of it, and I saw all these x-ray images, and these are 3D images. And the difference between 3D images and regular x-rays, a lot of x-rays take, when they take a picture, it's the outside surface of a bone. And the way that they know that there's a crack or something is like discolorations. They'll see cracks, or in a tooth, it would be like discolored. It would show disease, which would be decay. So, but now with that 3D imaging, in dentistry, what I saw is rather than taking a picture from the outside, they could actually position this and take the x-ray from the inside. It would show the tooth from the inside, showing every ligament, vein, attachment, every inch of how long each canal and things were.
Wow.
And it was just, you can't make mistakes with that type of imagery. You know exactly how long the root of a tooth is, et cetera. So the reason that this is important is because when they were looking at these images, and people wanted to say that they had stuck bones from children or from other animals into these little mummies, you cannot do that with 3D imaging. It would show up like a red flag. You cannot do that. So if the scientific evidence tells you that these things are real and there is no child or other animal bones stuck in there, it is what it is. They're telling you the truth.
Wow.
But a lot of people refuse to even believe it because of the person that presented it to the government.
Yeah, yeah.
So
wow.
Everything I've ever experienced, it was for a reason, and it helped me toward who I am now and how I can look and understand right from wrong, truth or lies, you know, and be non-judgmental and be more positive, because the whole world is not out to get us. Everything is not bad. Everything is not wrong. We kind of create our own realities. So if we think positive, we seek positive things. If you run around thinking negative, that's what you're going to create around you. And that's what is going to be attracted to you.
Yeah.
When you're more positive, things of that nature are, is more attracted to you. So we kind of create our own reality. So it's the same thing. So I've learned, and that's basically what humanity has to do, is learn to realize we're not alone, realize we don't know everything, realize we have a lot to learn. And, you know, yes, we should still do our research. Yes, we should still question and ask questions. But everything is not out to get us. We are not caveman any longer, where everything around us is a predator. We are no longer, we are at the top of the chain here ourselves. We are, have become the bad beings that could literally wipe out everything on this beautiful planet that is alive, that was put here by extraterrestrials and the creator source. And we have become the predator to our own planet, and we have to change. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's fascinating stuff, Nancy. It really is.
It is.
Are you still being taken now?
Oh, yes. My son and I went to Mexico. It was around Labor Day, somewhere in there, September, somewhere in there. Yeah. And, we have face-to-face. And when I don't have face-to-face every night in my dreams, I communicate with them and tell them to help me to, for one, to be able to present this in a relatable fashion that everyone can understand. You know, don't try to be too technology talk or, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? I want to be relatable to everyone, and I want people to know that it's coming from the heart and it's the truth. It's not a lie. It's not made up. And, so I ask for their guidance on how I present this, and I ask that they give me more information. And, you know, as I learn things, I try to put the information out there, you know, because that's what it's for, is that's the whole purpose of me being here. The whole purpose, you know, this is a big moment for humanity. This is big. And a lot of people don't realize it, but this is so big. We will be the generation that the future talks about, that made the changes and accepted things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've just got another question about when you first started getting these entities when you was a child. When you first started experiencing them, how did they present themselves to you? Because you said that they used to show you, a side that you could sort of relate to, or so. Would you see them as the greys, or would you see them as something else?
Even the greys, the interdimensionals can do more things, but even the greys can change the scenery around you, and they can. They don't change into something, but they can change the image that you see. In other words,
okay,
I've been at certain places where I was very, very upset, you know, either at a highly upset, like, for example, like, say, at a funeral home. And it's a place where if they came to me as they were, and that with me being that upset, it would not be advantageous for them to present themselves. So what they would do is pick an image from my mind. And it was they would pick a person that I knew it was not them. Say, for example, a president. They would pick a president that I didn't even vote for, but it was humorous enough that it lightened the transaction of information, so I knew it was not that person and that it was them, but I was completely calm, and it served its purpose of, you know, it wasn't like, wow, it wasn't like
overwhelming, like, yeah,
seeing a gray or seeing an interdimensional in their true form, 7 foot tall, kind of human looking but not completely human looking. So they would do things like that. And you know, and other times I've been places where, you know, say a waiting room at a hospital. You know, something serious, sad, whatever is going on. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. And they will give me affirmations that they're there. Like, for example, one time there was a clock that ran on batteries, and they would take the hand and they would tell me telepathically, look at the clock. And they would take the clock and move the hands over to 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Like, so it's, you know, it's really funny. They are billions of years ahead of us in evolution and everything. I don't even think the word technology is even what they have. We call technology, but I don't. They are so much more. I don't even think any of that applies to them.
Yeah.
Our physics does not apply to them. Our whole thinking and understanding of how our world operates, we've got a lot to learn. There's so much more in our going on all around us. I mean, for example, they could be standing right here next to me and I wouldn't see them, and they could be listening to you and I having a whole conversation. And if they wanted to, they could pick up my keys and do something like that if they wanted to. They're very cautious. They only do things like that when it's appropriate, you know. But that's another thing. They're not here to impress. They're not here to show off. These are loving, benevolent beings and materialistic. Showing off, all that kind of stuff is not part of who they are. It's not the part of their being.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, well, why don't they come down here and just fix everything? They can't do that. You know, we are here by free will and we make mistakes. We can only learn and grow and mature and become higher consciousness by learning from our mistakes. They cannot do all these things. They cannot fix everything wrong. We make a mistake, we have to fix it. You know, we are our own saviors, but they will be here and help us to make good decisions and assist us. There's some things they can do for us, but we have to keep using our brain. You know, it's same. We can't just expect. It's just like your child. If your little boy or little girl does something wrong, they have to suffer the consequences. And as much as it hurts you, you know that you have to let them figure out right from wrong. You have to figure out these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say, do this, do that, but it doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't. So, you know, it's not going to change overnight, but things will get better for humanity. That's for sure. There's no question in my mind. And I can already see it. I mean, I can already see things, and I take notice of, you know, it seems like everywhere I look, it's about consciousness or frequencies and, you know, everywhere.
People seem to be a lot more open to talk about these subjects.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. We're heading in the right direction.
Yes, it is.
Nancy, this has been absolutely awesome talking to you tonight.
Yeah, it's fun.
Super interesting. I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Oh, anytime. I'd love to.
Keep us updated with what's going on. Yeah. If you could tell the listeners where they could find you.
Yes, I have a website. It's timefordisclosure.com. And then I have a Facebook group, and it is called Time for Disclosure / We Have Never Been Alone / We Are the Disclosure, meaning all of us that are working towards disclosure. My philosophy is we don't need to wait on the governments. You and I are doing it right now. And everyone listening, we are all part of disclosure. We are the disclosure. We are the ones that are putting out the good, proper information and spreading the word. We are the disclosure. So yes, so anyone's welcome to contact me. There's ways of doing it on either way, the Facebook or the website. So that'd be wonderful.
Awesome. I'll share the links in the show description so people can find you. Nancy, thank you so much. Keep spreading the word.
I will.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to reach your country. That is my goal, is to reach as many people as possible. And hopefully I can help stimulate some of these other sleepers that are here to do what I'm doing, help to wake them and push them to get out there and get active and doing their, complete their missions, and to, for us all to work together to raise the frequency of everyone. Yeah, that's the goal.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Thank you so much. And I'll be in touch very soon.
All right. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you.
Bye-bye. Peace, everyone.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move. You can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy, demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?